Next case this morning is Hintz versus Farmers Cooperative Association. New approach? Good morning.
May it please the court, opposing counsel. My name is Rick Task. I appear today on behalf of the appellant, Mr. Hintz, in this matter before the court. Mr. Hintz is respectfully asking this court to reverse the decision of the Nebraska Workman's Compensation Court and find that as a result of a workplace accident while employed by the appellee Farmers Cooperative Association, that there is sufficient medical evidence to substantiate that there exists a causal relationship between Mr. Hintz's injuries and his employment. Now, the facts in the record are clear, and there's several items that are undisputed. It is undisputed that Mr. Hintz was involved in an accident while he was working at the Farmers Cooperative Association on November 13th of 2013. The nature of that accident was a semi-tire exploded. A rim had hit him, a steel rim had hit him, and threw him across the shop floor approximately 10 to 15 feet. It's also not disputed that Mr. Hintz had a labral tear to his right hip that ultimately required surgical intervention. What is in dispute in this matter is the causation of that labral tear. The workers' comp court found that it was not caused by the injury at work. This is what we're asking you to find otherwise. On December 4th of that same year, Mr. Hintz had incurred an injury at home when he was walking up the stairs and he fell and hit his hip. That next day, he sought care from Dr. James Galantine of the Nebraska Orthopedic Sports Medicine Group in Lincoln, Nebraska. Now, when first seeking care, he let Dr. Galantine know about the fall that he had, but he also had indicated a workplace injury that had occurred 3 weeks before, although he minimized the effects of that workplace injury and the results that it had on him and his ability to carry out his duties.
During that time, he actually talked about being able to jump on and off the trucks without any difficulty.
He did, Your Honor. He did. And
that the biggest problem you got?
I think that probably is the biggest problem because the workers' comp court judge felt that the subjective information provided by Mr. Hintz outweighed the objective information that was provided by Dr. Harris and to some extent Dr. Galantine. And that goes to the crux of my argument that objective information is far more reliable. Now, as far as him being able to jump on and off trucks following the employment, he did. The question is, should he? He also testified that there was no testimony that it shouldn't necessarily happen. No, it's an argument I made. Well, under your standard review, I still think you have the opportunity to look at the objective evidence and find that there is causation. Because, again, I think that that is the most important evidence. The bottom line is, he saw Dr. Galantine. Dr. Galantine took an intake, and unfortunately, sometimes in medical care, providers get blinders on it when they focus on what is the most likely cause of the injury. In this case, we have two instances. We have one 3 weeks prior, and we have one just the day before. He shows up to the doctor's office the next day with pain, and what do they do? They zero in on the injury that happened yesterday.
Didn't Dr. Harris put it this way? He'd say, this is more likely, or labral tear is more likely for having this rim explode and you being thrown through the air 10 or 15 feet rather than slip on a stair.
Correct, Your Honor. But what's important to note before that is, Mr. Hintz went through his course of treatment with Dr. Galantine, conservative treatment, and he could not find relief. He was then referred to Dr. Harris, who's got more surgical expertise in the hip area. Dr. Harris continued to go down the road of thinking this is related to a fall on the steps. And it was only after Dr. Harris performed the surgery, actually Dr. Harris performed the surgery and still was under that idea. It was only after the fact, looking back in 2020 hindsight, that Dr. Harris realized that there was this high energy, this high velocity injury in which he was thrown across the floor at 10 to 15 feet, that he said, aha.
Well,
the tear that I saw.
In all fairness, your client never told him about that when he first started meeting with Dr. Harris.
Well, Your Honor, he told Dr. Galantine. And he told Dr. Galantine also about the fall. And like I had said earlier, medical providers, myself, I have the fortunate experience of being a nurse and a lawyer.
Aren't they in the same practice?
They are in the same practice. But as I was saying, I have the fortunate experience of being a nurse and an attorney, so having some medical experience, you tend to sometimes focus in on one issue. I see that now with my clients now. You know, I'll be appointed as a new lawyer. I told my new lawyer this, this, and this, but they were more concerned about A, not B, C, and D. And I believe that that is the case that happened here, and I argue that's what happened. He told Dr. Galantine, I did have a workplace injury. It was 3 weeks ago, but you know what? I was fine. I was able to do okay. There was some evidence, though, that one of the workers said he didn't remember anything in particular about how Mr. Hans worked. Another one said he always had some sort of disability. It wasn't any different. Arguably, Mr. Hans did say that he was able to work okay, but the bottom line is he had a labral tear. Dr. Harris did the surgery. Dr. Harris, when he had the complete information,
Dr. Yellen knew from the MRI that he had a labral tear.
Correct. But the MRI is a very pleasant picture. It was Dr. Harris who actually had the arthroscope inside Mr. Hans, who looked up on the screen and was able to actually see the labral tear. He was in the best position to determine the cause of this injury, and that is why Dr. Galantine in his letter indicated that either mechanism of injury could cause this labral tear, but he would certainly defer to Dr. Harris, since Dr. Harris was the one who actually did the surgery. And that's my point, and that's my sole argument is the objective evidence of Dr. Harris is that this labral tear was the causation of which was a high energy injury. That high energy injury was when that semi-tire exploded and threw him across the room, and it was more likely than not to be the cause of the injury that he had incurred. It's clear that that hip injury is what had plagued him, and he was having trouble getting over it. To this day, he still has pain, and Dr. Harris had indicated that briefly, he was unable to repair the labrum due to the severity of the tear, and he continues to suffer with persistent pain. It is for these reasons that we believe the workman's compensation court incorrectly decided that there was not causation, that it wasn't a result of the fall on the stairs, rather it was a result of the high energy injury that occurred when the tractor tire exploded. Because that causation is there, we believe that Mr. Hans should be compensated for his injuries by Farmers Mutual Cooperative. And if it pleases the court, I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
I've got one question. Dr. Bogas, who is a defense attorney, he starts off in his report. He says, I can't say with a reasonable degree of medical certainty that the work event on November 13, 2014, and then he factored Mr. Heinz's complaints of right hip pain.
And I read that, Your Honor. And that's Dr. Daniels.
He's basically saying I don't have any opinion as to reasonable medical certainty as to causation.
Yes, that's Dr. Danny Bozart. And Dr. Danny Bozart is arguably an excellent orthopedic surgeon. I know him. And he looked at a paper record after that. Dr. Galantine actually laid hands on Mr. Hans. And more importantly, Dr. Harris not only laid hands on Mr. Hans, but Dr. Harris, like I said, performed the surgery. He witnessed the labral tear firsthand. He was in the best position to determine what the cause of the injury was. Dr. Bozart could not say to a reasonable degree of medical certainty. Dr. Galantine said it could be either or, but I would refer to Dr. Harris since he had done the surgery. And Dr. Harris, the board-certified surgeon with 15 years' experience, said it was likely the cause of the workplace injury. And for those reasons, we would ask you to reverse the workman's compensation court and find that there is causation due to the workplace injury.
So you want to reserve the rest of your time?
Please, Your Honor.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor.
You may proceed.
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is Jason Kidd, and I'm here on behalf of the Appellee Farmers Cooperative Association. What appellant is asking me to do is to subject your judgment in lieu of the trial court judgment of the facts that were adjudicated at trial. What we have an admitted accident that took place on November 13, 2015. Oh, I'm sorry, 2014. There's no dispute over that. What is in dispute is a number of things that go to determine Mr. Hansen's credibility and the credibility of others involved at trial. Mr. Hintz testified at trial that he felt like after the accident on November 13th, that he felt like he was going to die. He felt like his legs had been blown off. He felt like he was bleeding to death. This is all in the record. Yet, within a matter of minutes after the accident, he denies any medical treatment. He doesn't want to go to the hospital. He says that he doesn't never provided with an accident report yet. He offered as Exhibit 3 at trial, an accident report dated November 13, 2014. He doesn't go to the doctor for 3 weeks. The wage history, which I believe is Exhibit 2, shows that he continues to earn his normal wages thereafter. He does go to the hospital or to the doctor on December 5th. At that time, he does talk about an accident that took place on November 13th, but he returns to work full duty, jumping on and off trucks, and that the night before, he was carrying some items up some steps, fell, struck his right hip on the corner of the stairs. Now, the interesting thing about that is, when he testified at trial, he doesn't admit that he hit his hip on the steps. He says that he hit his elbow and his knee. He denies that he told the doctor that he hit his hip. You go back and look at the records, clearly tells the doctor that he hit his hip. He attributes his pain to hitting his hip.
The accident report, Exhibit 3, was that one that was prepared by the employer?
Yes, sir.
But it was he wouldn't sign it, is that correct?
That's correct.
What was the explanation of that, why he wouldn't sign it?
There was really no explanation given. He just had, he didn't want to sign the report. He didn't want to see medical treatment on that day.
And that report showed a left leg injury, is that what it showed?
Correct.
Nothing else other than the left leg?
That's correct. That's correct. Right. If you continue to look at the exhibits that were presented to the court in December, Mr. Hintz files for short-term disability. In that report, he indicates that he had sustained an accident at home walking up steps. There's a specific document in there about whether it's work-related. He checks, no. He continues to treat with Dr. Galantino and with Dr. Harris. He continues to relate this to a fall at home walking up steps. Not once in December, other than his kind of initial report that he had had an accident 3 weeks before, but the rest of December, January, February, March, April, he doesn't make one statement about this being related to the tire blowout that took place on November 13th. And in fact, if you look at the report written by Dr. Harris in May of 2015, he even admits in there the work injury was not documented at the time. Dr. Harris was never told about a work accident. There was really no discussion of a work accident taking place. So the trial court had the opportunity to view Mr. Hintz's testimony and make decisions on whether he believed the story that he went back to work to be credible, or the story that, and if you go through his testimony, there's a bunch of things in there about how he wasn't given the accident report. He was told by the staff that he had to say on his short-term disability that this was not work-related, and so he turned in some reports that made it sound like it would be work-related, but they told him, no, you've got to go get different documentation. There was no evidence actually presented that there were initial reports filled out.
The trial judge makes a statement in the award. The court finds that there is no medical evidence substantiating the causal relationship between the plaintiff's right hip impingement syndrome and the acetabular that relates to label of care. Well, no medical evidence. What is the opinion of Dr. Harris on that medical evidence?
That is medical evidence, Your Honor, but there's also medical evidence from Dr. Bozarth indicating that this is more than likely to have.
He didn't say contested or that he says there's no medical evidence.
That may be the case, Your Honor, but I don't think that changes the ultimate decision in this case. That's correct, and you only. The decision was there was a two-pronged decision, if I'm not mistaken, looking at the award. He determines whether the accident that took place was the cause, and then he determines a number of other things based upon the opinions that are put forth. And the way I read the decision, Your Honor, is that based on the totality of the evidence presented, he didn't think that the work-related condition or the work-related accident ends up being the cause of the treatment that has taken place 6 to 8 months later.
That's correct, and I think the problem comes on when he says there's no men. He said there is a disagreement as to the medical cause of his injury. And I choose to be trying to say it was from the ball because of all these other discrepancies. I mean, that's fine. But he says there's no men. Just like you have a look at that fact.
Yeah.
That's what's causing me.
And I understand that. I think when I read the judge's decision, when I think about it, I'm thinking that he was presented a bunch of exhibits, Your Honor, a bunch of exhibits. A lot of them were duplicates, but there's a bunch of testimony, a bunch of medical testimony. And the fact of the matter is, from November 13, 2015, until April 2015, there's really no indication in the record that this has anything to do with an injury that took place on November 13th of 2014. This is all with respect to an injury that took place on December 4th, 2014, and that was the fall at home. So I think when you look at it in totality, I think that's the period of time that he's talking about, that there's really no medical causation during that six-month period that would establish this being a work-related injury, and then you take that in conjunction with his testimony and with the documents that were filed, that there's no evidence, or that the totality of the evidence is that this isn't work-related.
I understand the totality aspect, but it's how you get around no evidence.
Your Honor, that's just, like I said, I think it's a matter of how you read the award. I feel like when I read the award that there is a two-pronged decision that's being made, and certainly reasonable minds can disagree, but...
Dr. Gallantine, did you notice the predate Dr. Harris, Mark Myers? Point out that it was a work injury.
Correct.
And so there is, even for Dr. Harris, that's there's evidence that there was an injury.
Yeah, and that was an admitted. I mean, there's an admitted injury. There's no dispute that there was an accident that took place in November of 2014.
And then when you put that on top of Dr. Harris, again, I understand it's contested. I understand that there's a difference of opinion. Well, under our standard of review, don't we have an obligation to say that apparently did not even consider evidence was presented that at least demanded a back to the
Your Honor, I think that we're getting hung up on one statement at the end of an extensive award that was written identifying all the factual issues that were put in front of the judge. And so if we're going to rely on the one statement at the end to substitute the judgment of the totality of the award, I think that would be an erroneous way to pursue it. The judge laid out in a thorough award what his decision was, and I don't think that one statement at the end should change that.
Gallison and Harris are cousins.
Yes.
Same question. So he goes to Gallison and he tells him about both injuries. When he goes to Harris, he doesn't tell him about the second injury, but don't the same records follow from one partner to another in the same clinic? And is it reasonable to say, well, Harris never read that before he looked at the patient?
Well, that would be my understanding, Your Honor, is I think that the
records are seen that he had an injury.
I agree, Your Honor. I think that when a new physician at the same practice takes over treatment or is referred, that they have a duty to look at the prior records, and it shouldn't be a mystery to them that there was an initial recitation of an event that took place, and then a subsequent event that took place that seemed to have trumped what was being discussed. Thank you, Your Honor.
How far did we take him over? Okay, and how much time does the panel have for rebuttal?
1 minute and 30 seconds.
Let's give him 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Okay.
Your Honors, we don't exist in a vacuum, and my comments are somewhat argumentative given my history of working both in the medical field and law. But the bottom line is people don't always become the best historians as they report their injuries. And what I see in Mr. Heinz is I see an individual who works 40 hours plus a week, and I see an individual who gets hurt at work and gets scared about getting hurt at work because he doesn't want to lose his job because he is a worker. He went to Dr. Galantine. He told Dr. Galantine about the workplace injury and the fall. And the bottom line is what I believe occurred is Dr. Galantine focused on that fall that happened the day before and thought 3 weeks ago, probably not. And Your Honors asked the appellee about the two doctors being in the same clinic. The clinic is a very fast-paced environment. You love to think that they sit down and take a very detailed history, but they don't. It's fast. What's going on? What's your problem? Get the patients in. Get the patients out. When Dr. Galantine was unable to provide Mr. Hintz with relief with conservative measures, it got passed on to Dr. Harris. And Dr. Harris very well might have just overlooked the very short note that existed in the medical record that he had a workplace injury 3 weeks prior. And Dr. Harris was focused on that more recent in time injury because that would seem to be the most reasonable explanation for pain. But it's after Dr. Harris did the surgery and saw the type of tear that he saw on his screen in the operating room. And it's after Dr. Harris was brought to his attention that, hey, there was a high energy in where I was hit with a steel rim. And I was thrown back. 10 to 15 feet. That Dr. Harris said, given all the information as a whole, the injury that I saw in you likely had to be from the workplace injury, not from a fall. Dr. Galantine said it could be both, but he's going to defer to Dr. Harris because Dr. Harris saw the injury, and Dr. Bozart was never in surgery.
One thing I'd like to ask you, just real quickly. I don't find where you have any excitement here. Do you understand that's a problem?
I understand that that's a potential problem, and Mr. Lamb had actually drafted the brief and sent me for arguments, so... That's my answer to that, Judge Enbody. Thank you. And if I can just finish, we feel that there is medical, sufficient medical evidence to show that there is causation related to the workplace injury, and I would submit. Thank you, Judge.
All right, counsel. We appreciate you being here. The case is submitted.